Good morning. It's good to see all of you here today. I'd like to begin by asking you to put your mind back 2,000 years ago. It was a Saturday 2,000 years ago when Jesus was dead. He was laid in a tomb. And I think we can probably imagine what it must have been like for those disciples that lived during that time in Jesus' day. For we too have had experiences when we are confused and we don't know where to go or what to do. We don't know what the next thing should be that takes place. We've been to the edge just like those first century disciples were at the edge on that Saturday. You know, there are times when life takes us to the edge. It may be things that will forevermore change our life. Our life will never be the same because of the events that have transpired. Maybe it's the death of a family member that you love. Maybe it's the end of a relationship that you had with somebody. Maybe it's, you know, some dream that you had for yourself, the future that you had planned for, that you maybe from the time you were just little, you had charted out your life and it was going to happen this way, and those dreams are shattered and they are no more. We've all been, whatever the situation may be, we've all been to that place where I don't know what to do. I don't know what the next thing is that should be done in my life. Those early disciples must have felt that very thing because it was Saturday. And I know that what happened on Friday, we talk about it, the Bible records what happened on it, and there are a lot of events. And how many sermons have you heard about Friday? Friday to those disciples was a day of brutal crucifixion. They witnessed a brutal murder. And I know what's going to happen on Sunday, but those early disciples didn't have the faith yet to trust in the resurrection. They were unbelievers. Their faith was shaken by the events. And I can imagine, I mean, it's more than just words. They were there. They saw him physically grabbed. They saw him stripped. They saw him manhandled and nailed to a cross. They saw him lifted up and they saw him breathe his last. They saw his corpse. They saw him taken down off the cross and those nails pulled out of his hands and feet and there was no flinch. He was dead. And they saw him buried in a tomb. How much hope can you have for him in the future? You would think it was all over. And you would spend probably Saturday as a day of quiet reflection and confusion. What do we do now? We thought he was going to be the one, the Messiah. And I saw him murdered yesterday. So now, I've given 3 years of my life. I've been a follower of Jesus and I gave up everything. I gave up my occupation. I left it all and I followed him thinking he was the one. And now he's dead. What in the world am I going to do? What now? What next? If you can understand those emotions that they must have felt, then I think you can probably say, you know, I felt them myself. It may not be that you witnessed, and of course it wasn't the case that you witnessed the death of Jesus, but I'll tell you have been in your own silent Saturdays, have you not? When you don't know what to do. Saturday's a time of waiting. Like I said, we've heard hundreds, thousands of sermons on the crucifixion of Jesus. That's Friday. And we've heard hundreds and thousands of sermons that talk about the resurrection of Jesus. But that's Sunday. what happened on Saturday? We don't hear a whole lot about that. And probably the reason for that is because there's nothing said about Saturday. We jump from the day of crucifixion to the day of his resurrection, but there is an entire day in between. And I'd like for you to consider what those early disciples must have done on that day. And maybe when God was silent and when he spoke nothing and when he left them in a state of confusion, how do you get through those days? And I want to share some things with you this morning that maybe will help us, and I think it would have been of help to them as well. What do we do when God is silent? What do we do when we have our silent Saturdays? I want to give you 3 points this morning, and the lesson will be yours. And the first thing is just simply this: wait on God. See, God wasn't done on Saturday. Oh, he had barely begun on Saturday, and they had to wait it out. It was Jesus who said, 3 days, then I will rise. It hadn't been time yet. And I know that the last image they had of Jesus, his dead, limp body being taken down off that cross and buried in that tomb, that's not something you want to dwell on. That's not a very encouraging and hopeful image to have running through your mind on this silent day. But God wasn't done yet. Sit it out. Wait on God to act. I know it's uncomfortable sometimes when we wait. And, you know, as a teacher, sometimes you'll ask a question in a class. And you'll ask this question, and then you sit and wait. And no one answers. And usually the teacher will, because it gets a little awkward and uncomfortable, he'll just answer his own question and move on. Or sometimes in counseling sessions, when you're talking to a husband and a wife and you ask a question that really gets to they're reluctant to answer, and it's awkward. Silence is awkward. And so we want to bail them out and start talking. But you know, there's value in that silence. And while it's uncomfortable, sometimes we need to sit and wait and let the person think and answer and not bail them out. And I think that that's what we have going on in that Saturday and on that Saturday. You know, we sing a song based really upon, if you have your Bible, open it to Psalm 27 and look at what the psalmist said in verse 14. He said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Twice he said, wait on God. Just give him time. God doesn't always act on our time schedule. He doesn't always alleviate our uncomfortableness just, you know, at our whim. Sometimes we have to wait, and it's not comfortable waiting. We sing a song, Teach Me, Lord, to Wait. It's in our song books, but the first verse goes like this. Teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees till in your own good time you answer my plea. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. We need to do that. I think of times in the Bible when, you know, because we're uncomfortable, we just like run ahead of God and we try to like, oh, well, this is awkward. Here, I'll do this. We busy ourselves. And what we should be doing is just silently waiting. What's next? Let God make the next move. In Genesis chapter 12, God makes a promise to Abraham. He says, your descendants will be like the sands of the sea and the stars of the heaven. And through your seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed. He made that promise to Abraham when he was 75 years old. Listen, let's fast forward. No answer. No promise answer. So Abraham said, well, you know what? He must have been talking about my servant, Eliezer. It's through him. That must be what God meant. And so he was preparing his servant to be the one through whom this would be fulfilled. And God came to him and said, no, I made you a promise, and it's not through your servant. It's through your own seed. Oh, okay. So he waits a little longer. And he's getting old, and he hasn't had a son yet. And so Sarah says, well, why don't you take Hagar and let her be your wife? Just go into her and have a child by her, and she can give you the son of promise. And he consents to that and caused, you know how much grief and sorrow has been caused in this world because of that decision not to wait on God. And God says, you did the wrong thing. I'm not talking about Ishmael. I wasn't talking about him or Hagar. I'm telling you that I am going to give you a son through Sarah, and through him all nations of the earth will be blessed, his descendant. Abraham is 100 years old when Sarah finally, and where God finally answers that promise through Sarah. Question. If somebody made a promise to you and waited 25 years to fulfill it, would you have given up on them? Yeah, I'll do this. I promise you, I'll do it. And if we wait 25, there's no way we'd stick with them, would we? We'd say, man, I've got too much time. He's not going to do what he said. Wait on God. The waiting is often uncomfortable. The waiting can cause you to have doubts. But wait on God. He's faithful. And he'll keep his promises. That Saturday must have been a day of reflection, a day of silence, a day of fear, a day of trepidation. But just wait. Sunday was yet to come. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 through 12, you know, the children of Israel had been led out of Egypt and they were backed up, and God put them right against the Red Sea, and there were Egyptian strongholds to the north and south. There was nowhere for them to go. They were boxed in, and Pharaoh and his army are coming. A very uncomfortable place to be. The people were afraid. They cried out to God. But God had it all in his plan. He put them there, yes, in an uncomfortable spot so that he could be glorified. They were going to have to wait it out. And they didn't know how and what God was going to do, but he was going to deliver them. He promised to do so. And he would, and he did. So when you're in that time when, like, I don't know what to do. My life is a mess. What I had planned, it's not going to happen now. I don't know how I'm going to get along without so-and-so in my life. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You can fret, and then you can get yourself involved in a flurry of activity that oftentimes will result in the wrong thing. Or you can wait on the Lord. Here's the second thing. Obey God in those silent Saturdays. You know what I find interesting? When you turn to Luke chapter 23 and verse 56, I understand that those, you know, the women themselves, the men had expressed unbelief. They had didn't believe even when Mary Magdalene came back and said, he's risen. They didn't believe it. They had to go look for themselves. And Jesus upbraided them for their unbelief in Mark chapter 16 when he met with them after his resurrection. But the women didn't believe either, because they had prepared spices to go anoint his body on the first day of the week. And that's how they discovered the tomb was open and he was risen. But the reason they had gone was because they thought he was going to be there. And they were going to prepare his body, give him the proper funeral. They too didn't believe. But I want you to notice what it says in verse 56. Then they returned and prepared spices. This is after Jesus was taken down off the cross and he was laid in the tomb. They went to see, okay, that's where you laid him. We're coming back. And they went home and they prepared spices and ointments and everything and aloes. And they brought this to prepare for Jesus. But this was Friday. And Saturday was the Sabbath. And they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandments. And it wasn't until chapter 24, verse 1, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, that certain other women with them came to the tomb to bring spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away. But here's the point. It's Friday. Their hopes are dashed. Jesus is dead. So what do they do on Saturday? They obey God. They keep the Sabbath. They didn't turn their back on God. They didn't get angry at God and do their own thing. They didn't act out rebelliously. They didn't say, because this didn't seem to go the way, I don't think I'm going to do anything God says anymore. And don't you see that in the lives of people? When something doesn't go right in their life, when something bad happens to them, how do they act? They act out against God. They rebel against God. They walk their own way. That's not what these people did, these early disciples did on that silent Saturday. They remembered the Sabbath day and kept it holy. Sometimes we need to be reminded to obey God. Even when God says, wait. I love the story in Luke chapter 1 of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And he was a good man and she was a good woman, and they were to be the father and mother of John the Baptist. And they had prayed for a son and God had not answered their prayer as far as they could tell. And an angel eventually comes to them and says, your prayer has been answered. And they're old. Past the age of childbearing at this point in their life. A long time has passed. And I'm sure that Zechariah must have said, what promise are you talking about? Because people who are well past the age of childbearing, do you think they pray for children anymore? Do you know very many 80-year-old men and women who are, Lord, just give me a little bundle of joy. You know, I want to take care of a baby. I want to get up in the middle of the night and do all. I don't think you're going to have very many people that age praying for that. They probably have long since stopped praying for that prayer to be answered. But the angel comes to him and says, your prayer's been answered. You're going to have a son. But here's the point that I want you to see. What did they do when they thought God had said no? They served. You want to know where Zechariah was? He was in the temple doing his priestly duties as the law instructed him to do. He hadn't turned his back on God. God was silent in his life, but he didn't use that as an excuse to rebel against God. Hey, he's making life hard for me. If God loved me, why would I have this happen to me? No, he was silent. And right there he was serving God faithfully. These women don't understand what Jesus was murdered before our eyes, and we thought he was to be the Messiah. And Saturday comes, and they obey the Sabbath law. Listen, when you find yourself in a silent Saturday, obey God. Don't use your confusion as an excuse to throw the commandments of God to the wind. When you don't understand, and when you're confused, and even when you're hurt, do what's right. Obey God. And then the third and final point is this. Remember God's word and the promises contained therein. I think again of Luke chapter 24. I know this takes place on Sunday, but it must have been as well they're thinking on Saturday, because Jesus meets two disciples on the road to Emmaus and he says, "Hey guys, what's going on? Why all the sad talk and the sad looks?" And they said, "You must not be from around here, because there was a crucifixion this weekend and Jesus was killed and we thought he was going to be the one, the Messiah, and he wasn't, because he's dead. And oh, but some women went to the tomb early this morning and they found it empty." And now he said, well, the word is amazed or perplexed, some translations say, or astounded, some translations say. The Greek word literally means that they were beside themselves. They didn't know what to think. "I saw him die, but they're saying he's not there anymore in the tomb. The tomb is empty." And so they were like beside themselves. Have you ever been in that state? I don't know what to do. My life has been turned on its head. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go next. I don't know who to turn to. I don't know what will help. I don't know what to pray. You know what Jesus did when he told them that? They said, we're beside ourselves. We don't know what to do, what to think. Here's what Jesus did. He opened the scriptures with them. He began to tell them about what Moses and the prophets had said about the coming Christ. He began to share with them verses that gave prophecies that had to do with him. And then their eyes were opened. And they said, he was the Christ. Jesus was with, he is risen. They trusted in his promises. There are times when we may not understand fully, and especially in those times when God seems to be silent. It's Saturday and Sunday hasn't come yet. We haven't seen the fulfillment of God's work. We have it in promise. We've heard his, I'm going to do this. But listen, what happened Friday was horrible, and here I am today, and I can't go back to the way it used to be, because that's done now. My life as it was before, there's nothing left. There's been deaths, there's been loss, there's been broken relationships. I can't go back. Life will forevermore be changed for me. So what do I do, God? And we hear crickets. Nothing. We hear silence. That's exactly what they heard 2,000 years ago on that Saturday. God didn't speak. I can read all about Friday, and I can read all about Sunday morning, but I can't read anything about Saturday. And that day had to have been terribly uncomfortable for those first century Christians. But here's what we need to do. When God is silent, pick up his word and listen to what he had to say when he wasn't silent. He keeps his promises. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." And bank on that. No, Sunday hasn't come yet, but God's faithful. And if he said it, he'll do it. And that was proven to those disciples 2,000 years ago when they arose that Sunday morning and the tomb was empty and Jesus had risen just as he had promised he would. And I go through and you go through times when you say, "Where's God? Why is this happening to me? What am I going to do with my life now? How am I going to cope? What am I going to do tomorrow?" Wait on the Lord. Obey him during your wait. And trust in him to keep his word. That's what those first century brothers and sisters did. And they had Sunday to rejoice in. And we will as well. We've all had times when, and we'll continue to have those silent Saturdays in our lives as they did. They're uncomfortable. They're unnerving. They can shake our faith. But during those times, remember who you are and remember whose you are. And I think we can endure those difficult moments. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a child of God, I hope you obey the gospel. The whole message of the cross and the whole reason we assemble on the Lord's Day is to remember His death, burial, and resurrection, His life. God loves us, and we sin, and because He's holy, we're separated, and our only hope is to be reconciled to God. But how will that happen? How can that be accomplished? How can sinful man live in the presence of a holy God? Through the death of Jesus. That sacrifice was sufficient. It satisfied the wrath of God. And He says, you know, now I can maintain my justice and I can justify you and let you in my presence. If you haven't yet obeyed the gospel of Christ by being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, why don't you take advantage of that? There's no other way to be with Him forever. If you're a child of God already but unfaithful, or maybe those silent Saturdays have weighed heavy on you and you haven't trusted God as you should, and you need the prayers of your brethren, prayers to wait. We'll pray with you if that is your need, if you'll come as we stand together and sing.